Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh everyone, and welcome to Notes from Nur Hidayah. Welcome to the episode. I really hope that everybody has been doing good inshallah and has been keeping safe. So I'm very excited today because today will be another episode of inspiration where I get my friends, those who inspire me, to be on this podcast together with me to actually share their thoughts, their life stories and their experiences inshallah. And as for today, I have Bahia together with me on this episode. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. Assalamualaikum everyone. I'm Kia Bayazid. I am a single mother of four. Not so single in next year.
Inshallah.
Amin. I am working as a cybersecurity analyst. Mm-hmm. And also when I am not working, I do the opposite, which is writing novels. Novel cinta.
So beautiful. You mentioned that you are a mom of four.
Yes.
How long have you been, you know, on this journey of being a mother thus far?
On a journey as a mother about 15 years, because my eldest is 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that my second is around 13. Mm-hmm. And 12 and 10. So everybody semua dah besar.
Semua dah besar. Alhamdulillah. So you have overcome the face and rosy.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. right now I'm in a teenage angst phase. So it's like, oh, I don't know anything back. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in parenthood, right?
Mm-mm.
You were like, okay, I know everything. But then sometimes when you go to a certain phase, mm-hmm. okay, you just like, okay, I'm new. I'm a new parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to go through a certain phase with them as well. Because they are clueless. Mm-hmm. You are also clueless. And you are learning together.
Mm, beautiful, mashallah, learning together. How are you coping with that so far?
You have to read parenting books.
A lot?
Yes, a lot. And also, I guess you have to share experience with other people,
mm-hmm.
those who have gone through that phase,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you have to get along with other people and just talk about it. And sometimes when you have, if you still have your parents, you have mm-hmm. to go to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I will usually go to my mom, then she will like say, how does it feel to have a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I said, it's difficult, mm-hmm. but I'm blessed with people who is around me who mm-hmm. always motivates me to like do better as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do better as a mom, you have to actually do the things that you know you want your children to do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you want them to read, you also have to read. Yeah, so it's a mirror lah. Yeah.
Mm, okay, beautiful. So three things that I picked up. The first one about being a mom of four. Second part was you mentioned that you are in cybersecurity.
Yes.
So how did you got there?
I know I'm not sure if you guys know me from the past. I don't really like jumped into cybersecurity last time, right? So when I told everyone that now I'm in cybersecurity, they were like, wait, when? How? Why? What happened?
What is this cybersecurity?
So last two years, I decided to embark on this journey. So I really wanted to take a diploma.
Mm-hmm.
So I told myself, let's not take the diploma. Let's take advanced diploma.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I want to challenge myself. But thinking of my children and also like my work and all the things, the chores and everything, I was asking myself like, how do I juggle all this to attend to a class?
Definitely.
Yeah. So the class is it's a part-time advanced diploma. However, there's online learning, so it feels like every day is a learning class. Mm-hmm. So I have physical class, I have online classes.
Mm-hmm.
So physical class is 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but online classes, like anytime, you have to finish your online learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically I am learning every night. Not exactly part-time, but I managed to pull through somehow. Yeah. So from there, I had my certified network defender,
mm-hmm.
and also certified ethical hacking, because that is like a license for me to get into cybersecurity analyst.
Mm.
Yeah. So that is what happened, even though it was a very crazy year.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask me like, how do you do it? I don't know. I just do it.
I think that's the thing about mothers. Like, they somehow can do so many things and they do so many things greatly lah. Yeah, beautiful, mashallah. Okay, so that is a little bit on your introduction.
Mm.
I think we also want to tap on the part where you speak about you're also a writer, you write novels.
Mm.
So, you know, pertaining to that, I'm just wondering what fuels your creativity and what actually got you through all of this writing.
Okay, What fuels my creativity? Usually, it's nature. Like, there's certain things that inspires me to write. So when it's raining, when it's cold, and like usually my ilham comes when at night, like when the kids are asleep. It's not so like, you know, sometimes it's so like
it's not so heavy traffic.
Yeah, I can't think. It's a writer's block because everybody's talking. So when everything's just nice, yeah, everybody's asleep, and that's where. Okay, my mind is so fresh that, okay, I need to write. Yeah. Or something that, you know, when I see someone or like, you know, they have a different characteristic and I say, oh, this characteristic can be inside my novel. You know, they can be a character inside my novel. Because of their kindness, because of the way they carry themselves. Like, why is it not having this character inside my novel? You know, I was asking myself that a lot. So, creativity also comes from when you are in a situation where like your life is going through a lot of things. So you just wanted to like escape. Yeah, we were going through COVID, right? So I was telling myself like, hey, it's so stressful right now. Why not like during the Ramadan, I write Mr. H and Marble Cake.
Mr. H and Marble Cake. Just find that hashtag. You'll be able to get access.
So, it started out actually just by a random post of my daughter looking up and picking through a box of cake, which is the marble cake. So I did like a storyline about Mr. H, and then after that, there's hashtag Mr. H and marble cake. And then there's demands saying that continue the story.
Write more.
Like, why you leave us hanging? Then I'm like, oh, okay, let's make a series of this because people are suddenly reading. Yeah, because there's nothing to do except, you know, go online and read and stuff like that. So I decided to write. It was during Ramadan. And I decided to finish right after shower. Yeah. I stopped because under 10 days of Ramadan, I feel like, okay, people, you cannot be obsessed with this.
you need to connect with Allah.
Focus back. Focus back to Ibadah. And then after that, they'll get their ending. And even mashallah, the things that that I get from writing the stage and marble cake, it's not just the girls who read it, it's also the guys.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they were shy to actually like my post, but
they've been following.
They PM me and said, wow, this is so good. I need to read more. Are you selling it? Do you know that I write on the spot? I don't even like think about it. I write it on the spot and post it. I say I'm writing another episode, so I have to like recall what happened and on the spot I have to write it. So it seems like I can really like, be sincere about it. Yeah. So that happened, and alhamdulillah, we have sold online itself like 1,858. Then it was not just in Singapore, it was also in Malaysia, Indonesia, and then they were asking like, oh, are you gonna print out the book? Then I'm like, oh, print out the book.
Publish something maybe.
Yeah, inshallah. But for now, I'm just writing e-novels because it's accessible to everyone. Yeah.
Mashallah. So that's a little bit about your experiences with at least Mr. H and Marble Cake and writing novels thus far. I'm just wondering, you know, with regards to your writing pursuits, and as you mentioned, you know, there are people who are reading it aloud, there are readers who are silent about it. I'm just wondering if there are, you know, some comments or some of the things that people have said that made you like, okay, I want to write the next one. You know, writing this brings me purpose. Like, I'm touching hearts, for example.
One thing about Mr. H and Marble Cake, there's always a PS below. PS, this happens before. Has it happened to you? So it's like you're communicating with the reader. And somehow, PS, have you saw that? It's also reminding because sometimes I know I'm a novel reader. There's like 300 plus pages and sometimes like, one more page, one more
you
page.
Get carried away.
You get carried away. So I also use multiple language means like I use Malay and English and sometimes I use Indonesian. So it's like it's universal. So people would understand, especially the youngsters. My daughters read Mr. H and Marble Cake. So they say that it's easy to understand because I'm mixing both. It's not that I'm mempermainkan lah the bahasa, but it's like you are able to connect with your readers who do not really fully understand Malay. Yeah, because this generation, right, the younger generation, they are like, okay, we need to read, but we want to understand, but takkan nak buka kamus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I get that kind of like comments, they say, oh, my daughters are actually reading your book. It's so hard to get them like to read a physical book. Definitely. But they are reading your book. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when they say the PS, oh, let's see what's the PS for, you know, they
it's want like to something know. Personalized.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you are really like you the point of view, you break the wall. Mm-hmm. So you break the wall and say, hey, I'm talking to you now. Yeah. So that is the most interesting part for me.
Mm, yeah. Beautiful, mashallah. You mentioned how your daughters read it, mm. How friends, daughters of friends also mm. will read it. I'm just wondering if, you know, coming back to your background as a mother of four, how are you also attending to perhaps the creativity to your children?
Mm, okay.
Yeah, especially now they're in their teens. Yes. And then perhaps their approach to life is a little bit different with mm. the recent trends, their yeah. lingos.
So my children, they do not have social media except for Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are also more to like artistic. They draw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they are very expressive with their drawings, and also they play with a lot of colors. My fourth, Nana, she writes. Mm-hmm. So when I see her writing, it's really good. Mm-hmm. So I told her like, oh, what makes you want to write? Because she said that, oh, sometimes I have all this imagination.
Mm.
So she write all those like dragons, monsters, and it's really interesting. But it's also in Malay.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. She also said that she was inspired by me because I used to language. Because she said, oh, is it allowed? I mean, it's your book. Mm-mm. You can do anything with it. Yeah. So for my children, they try to be creative when they are not doing any of their schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Also the teachers, because I have a dyslexic son, the teachers allow them to actually because teacher now is a teacher, then it's different, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They allow them to like scribble.
Mm-hmm.
So that just for them to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to do something. Yeah. So when I hear about their creativity, and sometimes my first won an award because of a painting,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of shocked because I can't draw or paint. But I can scribble. But maybe I don't know, maybe I can, but it's a hidden talent. So when I asked him like, oh, what makes you want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said it's just there, and I was looking at something, so it inspired me to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it could be nature, it could be a person. So I feel that we have a different type of categories of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So each of the children would express creativity in their own way.
Mm.
And I think that is also a mirror or reflection to you in your ways of expressing creativity
yeah.
through writing, inshallah. I think that's really, really beautiful to know. And we, inshallah, pray the best for you and your children, okay. inshallah, and for them to grow up to be those who are capable, those who are beneficial, and most importantly, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So I was speaking about that also, just wondering if you can share with us a little bit on what fuels your spirituality. I think when we speak about spirituality, it's an important component,
yep.
right, of ourselves mm. as servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yep.
So your life, you know, your life as a mother of four, and then with the work, with, you know, trying to study at the same time at that point in time.
Now
and
that
then
you say it, I'm like, oh, that's a lot.
Right? And then like being a novelist, being a writer, and all that. I think just looking at one part of a mother also is already complex, mm. right? It's already abstract. So through all of that, what fuels your spirituality?
Okay. When I start doing especially cybersecurity,
mm.
It was really tough because there's not much of like Muslim, especially ladies. So I was the only lady in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep asking me like, why are you doing cybersecurity? And then I keep asking myself, I don't know why I'm doing cybersecurity. Is it because of the money? Is it because like you can do remote work and stuff mm-hmm. like that? But I go back to my niyat. So my first niyat is for Allah. We are doing cybersecurity for Allah because I know that our community, if there's only me, means that they are lacking of us.
Correct.
Yeah, there's lacking of Muslim in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And if I see organizations, and sometimes when I see that, oh, they got ransomware and all that, they can hack and all that, right? They do not know who to turn to, like for a Muslim fellow, turning to a Muslim fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they had to like, go outside, and you know sometimes when you can't really connect with them, So that's where I say like, oh, okay, actually I can be that first one maybe to just inspire them to, okay, actually you need to have a proper cybersecurity system in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it's not just physical security, not physical security only, but also the cyber ones, mm-hmm. especially now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where there will be a lot of attacks and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to my niat always. Yeah. So when writing novel also, it always goes back to my niat. It's for Allah. So if you're doing for Allah, if people read your book and they didn't solat, so you will be like, eh, what?
Am I the cause?
Yeah, am I the cause of this? So that's why I tend to write PS.
Mm.
Like, have you solat? Have you eaten? Or have you do your zikir today? Have you salawat today? I have to put a purpose in my novel. Yeah. And it goes back to niat again whenever I want to go to motherhood.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you'll be like, oh, we love our kids. We really love our kids. But is it because we love our kids and then we hold them tight, or because we love our kids, we leave it to Allah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I always say, okay, go back to your niat. You're a mother because of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a mother because of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you give birth, but Allah makes it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I always hold on to that. Always goes back to your niat. Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful, mashallah. I think those concepts that you have shared are very much simple,
yeah,
but it's also simple concepts that we have got to apply in our lives. And sometimes it's this simple concepts, you know, we tend to think like, ah, it's just something simple and everybody can do it, but most times we don't practice.
Yep.
Right? So if I caught on a couple of things, it would be number one, the intentions that you make, ensuring that all things are done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects. The importance of having Muslim representatives in various expertise fields and roles, which is important. You know, don't know, most probably you are the first few, or I don't know, maybe you are the first, I don't know. But I think this is where you can also begin to build on that awareness.
Correct.
Right? And then getting people to know that, you know, we have Muslim resources in this field, which is beautiful, mashallah. And then you also shared about how things happen because of Allah.
Mm.
The things that we have is from Allah.
Yeah.
And we are doing things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's a hadith, right?
Innamal,
regarding the niyat?
Innamal a'mal,
the niyat, right? Yeah, correct. Yeah. So when I reflect on that, like, oh, okay, like, goes back to your niyat, it's your intention.
Mm.
Even when we're waking up, right, we have the intention to, okay, let's intend to bathe. So we intend to bathe, but we have that intention. Like, it's like unlikely, like, we wake up and we straight away want to, like, go out. No, we want to bathe first. We set our intention. So when I even talk to my children about it, like, I will ask them, did you make an intention today? Do you want to wake up because you want to go to school, or you want to wake up because you want to subuh? Because there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they say, okay, let's wake up for subuh. So you will wake up on time for subuh and also for school. So both we dapat. Yeah. So important of intentions. It's very, like, it's very small, but it's really, you need to put that intention inside. Yeah, always renew your intention as well. If, like, sometimes it's swift, you have to always renew your intention as well.
So. Renew your intention and bring yourself back to where it's supposed to be. I think what you just mentioned is beautiful. It's not just also about the whole idea of making intentions in the first place, but taking care of the intention, you know, as you go along that journey. And that example that you gave about, you know, waking up for subuh, for fajr prayers, or waking up for example, school or work. I think that also reminds us about prioritizing our intentions.
Yes, correct.
Like, you still have to intend that you want to go to work for Allah, you want to go to school for Allah. But at the same time, you know, I choose what is of my priority, and then the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. So speaking about, you know, you just picked up on a hadith. I'm just wondering if you have any, you know, Islamic quote or Quranic verse or hadith of Prophet that continues to inspire you. You know, if things happen, or if you lose motivation, you know, this will be the thing that you'll go back to.
Okay, as a human being, we often, like, make mistakes and we sin a lot. So there's times where when we sin, we'll be like, ah, that's not solat today, because I feel so dirty and I'm not suci anymore. Let's not do any ibadah today. because we did something, all that. I think all of us have experienced that, and that we forgot that Allah is merciful, and that, you know, you have to run to Him to go Tawbah and all that. So I go back to Surah Az-Zumar, ayat 53.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, like, for me, it goes back to, oh, okay, like, Allah will accept me. He is the most merciful. He is not human.
Mm-hmm.
So He will look over it, and He wants you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So every time there's, like, this spiritual type where, today, like, a bit malas, want to ganti puasa, you know. today, a bit malas to zikir. Today, a bit malas to read Quran. I goes back to that. Like, okay, why? My second one is Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayat 1 to 3. Calling for success is solat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is like, okay, this is your basic, you know. Like, you're a mu'min. So what do you do as a mu'min?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to do to become successful? And Quran is your guide.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go back to that surah, I'll be like, oh yeah, you need to solat. So that is also one of my surah, my favorite surah.
Beautiful, mashallah. I think your favorite surahs or your favorite verses gives hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always allows us for return, even if we do the things that displeases Him. Because we are just human beings.
Correct.
We will make mistakes. We will sin. But at the end of the day, it's whether we want to make that turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then your second favorite verse, I think it's beautiful also, because it's not just about hope, but, you know, there are things that you've got to do.
There are things
that you need to fulfill. And here we speak about prayers, we speak about salah, we speak about, that is the definition of a successful believer. So I think that's really beautiful. It really balances things. Because I think sometimes when we are too hopeful, sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, I'm not supposed to do anything. I just continue with hope. Or on the other side of the spectrum, like, I continue to just do my very best. But then again, I become hard on myself and I don't put hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think that's very beautiful. Inshallah, we are actually coming to the end of today's episode.
It was fast.
I know, right? It feels fast. I think it's already many minutes already. So I think before we end, I'm just wondering if you can share, you know, one takeaway or one message to our listeners, to our sisters and to our brothers. If there is one thing that you can remind them, and of course remind me and ourselves as well, what would that be?
Okay, for me, it's very simple actually. It's yakin. You have to have faith in Allah. Why I say this, because sometimes when we do something, right, let's say we, okay, on my journey here, I'll be like, boleh sampai ke, like, can I reach here? Like, you don't have the faith in Allah. But when I reach here, they'll be like, oh, because I lean on Allah. Yes, I'm in the Grab, I'm on my way here, but because I believe that Allah will make ways for me to reach here safely, that's why I'm here. So it's a very simple thing. It's yakin, have faith in Allah in whatever you do. To be honest, my cybersecurity advanced diploma, it was 21k of, like, the fees. So I was asking myself, Ya Allah, like, how am I going to settle this?
Where am I gonna get 21k, guys?
I'm broke. So I said, okay, never mind. It's okay, you just register, have faith in Allah, but you also do your part by searching and making an effort. So I work for contract, and then after that become a part-time teacher, and then after that I work freelance, and then after that I said, okay, another 4k, last another 4k. That's when I said, okay, let's seek help, because you have your MP and all that, right? So I'm a writer. So let's write. So I write a persuasive kind of, like, email saying that, can you please help me? I'm at my last 4K and, you know, I'm doing this for the benefit of my children, my community. So, alhamdulillah, it was during Ramadan, 3 days before Raya. And they said that, okay, we approve. You don't need to think about it. When you are ready, you can come down and just sign. Like, oh, mashallah. I was like, oh, sujud syukur. Yeah, and I was tearing, and I was still, my mom was like, what did I do? Like, oh my God, I wrote. This is what happened when you can write, is it? So I'm like, okay, it's because you have yakin. Yeah, you believe in Allah. Even though at that time I was, like, nervous, you know, like, I'm talking to the MP, so, like, I'm so scared. So it's okay, just do. Just do and have faith in Allah. what can you lose? It's just writing an email. Have faith in Allah, and Allah will give you the solution. Believe in Him. Yeah.
Beautiful, mashallah. So I really love how we are concluding today's episode of Inspiration on the idea of yaqeen, trust, having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think it's not something that we can achieve overnight, but it takes time. But with the process, inshallah, our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grow stronger lah. Yeah, so with that, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really look forward to your upcoming writings, inshallah. Any writing coming out soon?
Okay, I have one. Okay, so all my novel, my niche is all about food.
The title.
So I have the Mr. H and Marble Cake, right? Mm-hmm. And we have Mr. H and Marble Cake 2. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Sambal Tumis Sidia, which is coming up. But I'm also writing the other one, which is The Nun and Only. So the nun.
Okay, I love nuns. Looking forward to that, inshallah. Yeah, so inshallah. And anyway, how can they access your writing?
Ko-fi, ko-fi / HB the Novelist. So you can actually just go to my Instagram, HB the Novelist, and you'll see all the links there. So I'll update some writings, short writings as well on my Instagram, so you can see as well.
All right, inshallah. So that is it for today, inshallah. Thank you so much for being here on this podcast with me.
Thank you for inviting me, Ustazah Hidayah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm really grateful to have you, and I am sure that those who are listening will benefit from your stories, your experiences, and your gems, as well as reminders, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So with that, we have come to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in to this very second. I really hope that it is beneficial, inshallah. And I hope for you to tune in into the next one. And with that, assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.